Well, unless you're heading down with the kids, sorry. Well, man, there's been a little opposition this morning here. If God pops your illustration during the opening prayer, do you think he's trying to tell you not to use it? Anyways, we're back into Galatians, and we're in probably one of the most famous pieces of Galatians. In fact, I've been hearing from different people as we've been preaching through Galatians, wow, I've never really heard that, never really heard that, never heard that. But this is the section that everybody hears about in Galatians, where it talks about walking through the Spirit, walking by the Spirit, and all of the fruit of the Spirit, and the manifestation of the flesh, and so on. So I had an illustration here. You guys, many of you have seen this before. I've got my black balloon, my red balloon, and so the point is that you come into this world like this black balloon, all right? And that's all of us. We're full of sin. We come in. You guys know from what we've talked about being born in the family of Adam. How many of y'all were born in the Adam's family? Right? All right? Yeah, there you were, the Adam's family. You're born in Adam, and you were born a sinner. And since you were born a sinner, what do sinners do, y'all? They sin, right? That's what happens. So sinners sin, and that's how we come into this world. And so, again, we've inherited all of that from Adam, and it may seem unfair that everybody inherits that from Adam. But if you want to talk about fair, what God did later was he brought the second Adam. He brought Christ, and Christ never sinned. And when Christ never sinned, God gave us the opportunity to have all of our sin wiped away. He gave us the opportunity to be born again out of the family of Adam and into the family of God. So everybody had to be born in the family of Adam so everybody could come out of the family of Adam into the family of God by being born again. So again, you come in this world as a sinner, and you know, there's nothing you can do about it. The wages of sin is death, eternal separation from God. Sin has to be punished. There's got to be wrath for sin. That's what God says. And nobody can take the wrath for their sin. Not a single one of us could take the wrath, full wrath of God on one sin that we've committed, let alone all of them. So on the cross, that's what Christ did. He died on the cross, and when he was on that cross from 12 to 3 o'clock, and it was dark, and he had cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? It was at that point that all of the sins of the world were being pounded on him. As Isaiah says, they were being slammed on him. All of your sins, your past sins, your present sins, your future sins, for all of us, he took the wrath that we couldn't take. And so he took our wretched life, he took our messed up life, and he wanted to give us his righteous life. For those of you that are born again, what happened is that the calling you've had since the beginning of time. Man, how long has God been in love with you? You're born again, right? So how long has God been in love with you? Forever. He called you from the beginning of time. He's had foreknowledge of you forever. And so he was waiting for you to come to the point where you would surrender your life, where you would realize, I'm a sinner. I can't pay for my sins. There's no way that my righteousness will ever work out. I have no righteousness in my own, and I need perfect righteousness from Christ, and he's offering it to you, and you are willing to make the exchange. That's what had to happen. In order for us to receive Christ's perfect righteousness, we had to give him our unrighteousness. What a great deal. And that's what it means to be born again. And so that is a work by the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit does. And it comes through a gift called grace. So our title has been, as we've gone through Galatians, is the gospel of grace. This is where Paul's explaining to the Galatians that, again, there's nothing you can do on your own. Man, there's no work. They were saying, oh yeah, they were being told by the Judaizers, you have to give your life to Christ, but you have to keep the law. You have to do the dietary rule. You have to be circumcised. You have to be all these things. And Paul's like, no, all you need is Christ. Because anything you have to offer is unrighteous. You need the righteousness of Christ, and that's all you need. So he gives us grace. Grace is a gift to be able to believe that. How many of y'all believe that Christ is the righteousness that you have? It's a gift that God has given you to be able to believe that, because you know what he says the world says about it? In 1 Corinthians, he says to the world, that is what? Foolishness. They're like, what an idiot. No. That's why every religion in the world is about doing something to be saved. It's like, I got to obey. I got to obey this set of rules. I got to do this thing. I got to do that thing. And it's all about a set of rules that you have to obey to earn your righteousness. That's what the world says. And when Christ says, no, I don't want any of that. You give me your life. You now have all your righteousness found in him. He's taken all your sins. And the world says, that's foolish. But you say, wow, I believe that. And that is because of grace. That's what grace is the desire and ability to believe what God what God says is right. And no matter how much, it might not make sense to the rest of the world. So it's the gospel of grace. He's trying to show us what grace is. Because many people even think, oh, grace, oh, I'm saved, and I'll be saved forever, which you will be if you're saved, you know? But, oh, I can live like however I want. I can do whatever I want because grace is coming. No, you don't understand grace. Grace is there to make you holy. Grace is there to make you righteous. Grace is giving you the desire to do what God wants and the ability to do what God wants, not the opposite. So it's the gospel of grace. He's telling, here's a gift. And this gift gives us faith to believe God's word is right. Man, I'll never forget when I first started reading God's word back in 1987, Christmas of 1987. I dragged my dad back to the Catholic Church. Neither one of us were living for God. Neither one of us, we were living just hell-filled lives, and went back to Catholic Church. I saw a thing on the back of the bulletin. How many of y'all remember what bulletins were, right? Yeah. And on the back of the bulletin said, Catholic Study Bible. I said, Dad, I want this. And he's like, I want this Bible. If I don't get a Bible for Christmas, that's all I want for Christmas. And he looked at me and said, you're going to be a priest? And I said, no, Dad, I like girls. And he was like, but he got me the Bible. And I read the Bible, man. And again, it just started, I wanted to obey the Bible because of the gift of grace. God gave me the desire to want this Bible, to read it. And I'm like, where has this been my whole life? I took a highlighter and I started highlighting important things. You know what I highlighted? Everything. You ever done that where you highlight everything? It's like, you know, when you're reading, and it was just phenomenal. And God gave me the ability to believe. And I'll never forget, there were times where I'd read something and it says, no, do it this way. And I'm like, yeah, God, my college degree, we didn't learn to do it that way. You know what? In the world, we don't do it this way. And God said, are you going to do it my way or Yahweh? You know, and so are you going to do it my way? And I said, yeah, I'll do it your way. But it ain't going to work. Any of y'all ever said that to God? I'm going to do it your way, but it ain't going to work. Come on, anybody say that? Yeah, you've said it by your actions. You know you have. But and I said, you know, God, it's not going to work. And God showed me it worked. And then I'd be like, God, this isn't going to work. I think it's going to work. I don't know how it's going to work. This is crazy. And I would watch God do things so contrary to the world that it built my faith. But it took faith to take the shot of doing it his way. Because it's counterintuitive. So much of the word of God is totally opposite of what the world says. And that's where we're going to go today. And so the gospel of grace gives us freedom when we have, what's the F word, y'all? Faith. It's all, we the just live by faith. We don't live by figuring it out. We live by faith. God says, this is what you do, this is what you do. Boom. And you know, God, I don't think it's going to work out. But every time, what happens? It works out, and it builds your faith. So God gives us grace, which gives us faith, and that gives us freedom. I don't have, Tiny, isn't it great that you don't have to figure, you're a married man now, right? How long y'all been married? Almost a year. Have you had to figure it all out? Or have you just thrown yourself on the mercy of God and said, God, help me love my wife, man. Help me be a good husband. Have you? Yeah, you've prayed that a lot, right? How many of you husbands have prayed that? God, help me be a good husband. Yeah, you can't do it without God. I'm just saying. And so again, what freedom there. Look at Tiny's face. Tiny, smile. Stand up and smile like that. Let's just stand up for a minute. Look at this face, this happily married man after a year. Y'all give it up for them, right? But it comes from trust in God. It's like, dude, I ain't got a clue. And you just do what God wants you to do. And we have the equipment and the power and the ability to do it, which is what we're going to learn today in Galatians. So the gospel of grace gives us freedom through faith, and the whole purpose of doing it God's way and God making it work out, help me out, it's up. The answer's up there, is for what reason? To bring what?
Glory to God. That's the purpose of grace. Not so, ooh, I didn't lose my salvation. Ooh, I can do whatever I want and I'm still going to say. No, dude, it's to bring glory to God, because God leads you to do things that are so contrary to this world that there's no way it's going to work out. But God is in the business of doing things so supernatural that only he can get blamed. Amen? Only he can get blamed. So that's where we're at in Galatians, and we're looking at the part. In fact, we're only going to look at a couple of verses. We might even just do one verse. I don't know. I was thinking last night, this could be the shortest message ever, but every time I say that, it ends up being a really long one. So I'm not going to say that, but here's the point, all right? Here's the point. This is what Paul starts off saying. In our walk with Christ, in our spiritual life, we are to continually walk by the Spirit. And we're going to go over all those words, are continually walk by the Spirit. And so many people might think, oh, yeah, that's for you pastors. That's for you, you know, deacons, you elders. That's for you holy rollers. That's for you guys that, you know, that's for you guys. No, this is for every born-again believer. If you're a born-again believer, you're going to continually walk by the Spirit. It's the normal Christian life. In fact, the devil has so made it that it's not the normal Christian life. Someone who refuses to do this and will do this and that because the Holy Spirit is leading them, man, oh, they're a freak, they're a fanatic, they're a Jesus freak. Well, amen. You know, in that, but it is the normal Christian life. It's not like someone who wants to just go to the second and the next level. You know, that's not what it is. It's for everyone to walk by the Spirit. So let's take a look at the first part of Galatians chapter 5, verse 16a, this first part. Paul, now we just got done talking about, Paul was saying, the whole goal of the law, the whole goal of the law and the prophets, the whole goal of the Bible is to love who? As you. Okay, now that you all know the answer, let's go again. All three of you, help everybody else out. But so the goal of, he said, the law and the prophets is all found in loving God with everything you got, but that makes you love who? Others, everyone else, your enemies, your neighbors, your everything. He went through different parables about talking about this. You love others as what? As yourself. And that's crucial, because if you didn't say as yourself, you would figure out how to love them to different degrees and think you're doing okay. But he says, as much as you love yourself, you're supposed to love them. Love them. Like, treat them the way what? The way you want to be treated. Yeah, that's what the Word of God says. That's why we have grace. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. That this whole fruit of the Spirit thing, we're going to get into next week and the week after that, because we're going to take our time through it. We're just covering the first part. But let me ask you a question. How many of y'all grow fruit trees? Anybody ever grown a fruit tree? How many of y'all ever been around a fruit tree? All right? How many are a fruit tree? You're supposed to be, right? But listen, a fruit tree. Hey, Wesley, man. Hey, a fruit tree. Does it grow fruit for itself? Fruit trees grow in a nice big tangerine, man. And, woo, I want a tangerine. I love tangerine. Do they grow fruit for themselves? No, who do they grow it for? Everyone. So when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, it's not so you grow fruit for yourself. Oh, I need peace, so I need this fruit of the Spirit of peace. I need love, I need joy. No, you're growing this stuff. So the very people that have messed with you, you know what? Instead of getting retaliation the way they get from the world, guess what they're getting, Kathy? They're getting, what's the F word? Fruit. No, the other F word. They're getting fruit through faith. Yeah, I knew you were going to say it. Anyways, but yeah, they're getting fruit. They cut you. You engraft the Word of God with meekness, as James says. All of a sudden, a fruit branch grows off of you. And the very people that cut you reach out and they grab a nice, juicy piece of fruit. It's not about us. When we love God, he causes us to love who? Others. So this whole aspect, that's what he had just got done talking about. He's like, yeah, man, so the whole thing, you know what? You love others the way you love yourself. You can look back in Ephesians if you got your Bible and look a couple verses back. And he says, yeah, and when you're not doing this, he said, y'all are bickering, you're fighting, you know, among yourselves, you're eating yourselves alive when you're not walking in the Spirit. So he says, here's what I say. Paul said, instead of living that way, he said, here's what I say, walk by the Spirit. Y'all help me out with that.
Walk by the Spirit. All right? This might be all we preach on. I don't think so, but we'll give it a shot. But look at this. He says, walk by the Spirit. So walk, when you think about a walk, it's like, is a walk one step? Is a walk just defined by three steps? How do you define a walk? What is walk? It's a continual process. So when he says, walk by the Spirit, and he says, and you won't be able to fulfill the lust of the flesh, which we'll get to as the second part of this, and then he gives you this whole list of fruit, and he tells you about it. He's not saying that, oh, I'm walking in the Spirit, boom, I got fruit automatically. What happens when you're growing a fruit tree? Man, you start it, you nurture it. The fruit starts out. Man, how many of y'all got neighbors that have mangoes right now? And you are coveting your neighbor's mangoes, right? Yeah. How many of y'all have mangoes? And you're like, quit talking like that, Pastor, man. Do your neighbors steal your mangoes? Yeah, dude, you're out there with a shotgun guarding your mangoes. I'm just saying. With rock salt. Remember those days? Back in my granny's day, if you ever got caught stealing people's watermelons, the farmer would wait till you were jumping over the barbed wire, and he had a big target like this, and he would pull the trigger, and you get hit with rock salt. Y'all know what rock salt is? Anybody know what rock salt is? It was when they take shotgun shells and they'd empty out the bird stuff or the pellets and put salt in it. None of y'all got shot by rock salt? Dude, y'all have lived such protected lives. I'll just say, dude, man, when that rock salt came out, your mom, anybody, you'd be laying down and they'd be taking tweezers, picking rock salt out of your rear end if the guy had a good shot. But anyways, their neighbor's mangoes. All right, so you're watching these mangoes. Man, I'm looking at my neighbor's mangoes every time I back in. And what do I see at first on top of the tree? I see what do I see? Oh, I see the flowers, the going, and I'm like, woo, Keone, look at that. They're gonna have a lot of mangoes. But then next, what happens? Then you got mangoes. And you start getting mangoes. And as soon as you pop a mango off there, Trent, is it ready to eat? No. In fact, my wife's pineapples. Man, we got pineapple. Don't ever get caught stealing pineapples from my wife. It's worse than rock salt, I'm telling you. But those pineapples, man, they're green right now. The mangoes, they're kind of starting a little bit. Those pineapples, man, they're growing, they're green. But man, have y'all ever ate a green pineapple? I've eaten green mangoes before. That's just because people in Trinidad were hungry and they found cool ways of making it. But it ain't as good as a nice, juicy mango. Oh, man, when I was in Haiti, here's how you eat a mango in Haiti. I would take my pocket knife and I'd cut it up all nice. And they're like, no. Here's how Haitians eat it. And you just peel the top and you just start eating. It's dripping down your arm. Oh, man. Y'all ever had one of those? That mango just dripping. And it's so good. But did it instantly pop off the tree that way? No, it took what? It took time. And it took ripening. And you know what? We're looking at these pineapples that we're growing in our yard. And they're growing, but they're not the right color yet. What color are them pineapples supposed to be when you pick them? Yellow. Yes. For those of you who don't know, pick them yellow. When they're yellow and you walk by and you're smelling pineapple, like, oh, man, it's almost time. But you got to beat the squirrels and them other critters to them, right? But it takes what? What's the T word now? Kathy, what's the T? Time. Yes. All right. Two F words, faith and fruit, and T is time. But fruit takes time. So when he says walk by the Spirit, it's a walk that we're taking. This is not just a couple of steps. That's not a walk. A walk is a journey. Abby, how long you been with us here at Driftwood now, man? When God brought you, a couple years, what? I don't know, time flies, man. But it's been a walk. And as the walk goes, have you grown in that walk? You started out as a little, a little flower on a mango tree. Now you're almost ripe, I'm just saying. And as soon as we're ripe, he grows another mango and another one. But it's a walk, y'all. It's not just all of a sudden, I need peace to get through this situation, and now I got it, you know? No, it's not instant. It's a process. You keep walking by the Spirit. You keep walking by the Spirit. You keep walking by the Spirit. What happens if you ignore that pineapple? What happens if you just ignore it? You go, you just have a seed. Well, you know, it's almost yellow, and you're smelling pineapple, and then you just, forget it. yeah, well, then the squirrels are going to eat it. It's gone. And now you're going to go back. Oh, I want that back. It's too late. You got to start the growth again. And that's what happens spiritually. Don't ever quit. Carter, not that you're going to, but don't ever quit. It's a process. It's a walk. And we miss that word right there. But I say, Paul says, walk and walk and walk and keep walking. How long do we walk, Donna? As long as God's got a step for us to take, we walk. And I'm going to say, as long as you're alive, you are walking, and you need to be walking by the Spirit. So check this out. But I say, walk, now look at this, by the Spirit. Isn't that interesting? Walk by the Spirit. Man, as opposed to walk in the Spirit, walk with the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the word paraclete in the Greek, which means somebody to walk alongside you. But it says walk by the Spirit. That's kind of interesting. Hey, Dylan, come on up here for a second. Hey, Tiny, come on up here for a second. Bring your uncle too, man. Y'all come up just for a second, man, just because he'll come up there with you. All right, come on, man. So here you are. In the flesh, you can do whatever. Do jumping jacks, do whatever. Dance, man, you can do whatever you want to do. All right, so there you are. He can do it all in the flesh, but spiritually, lay down, man, you're dead. Spiritually, in the flesh, he can't do anything, right? So if you're going to walk by the Spirit, it means the Spirit is going to have to give you the desire and the ability to give you the power, number one, to be saved, number two, to be sanctified. So you guys are the Spirit, all right? So he's going to walk by the Spirit. He can't do it on it. He can walk physically, he can walk carnally and walk in the world, but he can't walk in the Spirit unless you guys help him walk. The only power he's got, Tiny, you know where I'm going with this, right? The only power, it says walk by the Spirit, by the power of the Spirit. So can you too, as the Spirit, help him walk? Yeah, whatever you got to do, bro. Yeah. You're the Spirit, man. You're God. You know everything. So look, he can't walk except by the Spirit. He could. Yeah, there you go. Make it real, bro. Make it real. Just turn him around so everybody can see him, man. So turn him around. Turn him around. So look, but he's walking by the Spirit. Hold him up a little bit. Give him some strength. There you go. But he's got nothing on his own. He's only up by the Spirit. That's it. Carnally, man, you can do jumping jacks. You can run laps. You can do anything in the world. You still have the flesh. And you can do anything the flesh desires to do, anything in the world. But spiritually, he says, you cannot walk except by who? The Spirit. So, man, you got the Spirit holding you up, walk. You can smile, man, because it's a good thing you can walk now. So if he wants to go anywhere spiritually, who's got to lead him? If he wants, yeah, you can just take him wherever you want to take him, bro. It don't matter, man. I'm done. But you see what it means to walk by the Spirit? Oh, you know what we think it means to walk by the Spirit? Oh, I'm walking carnally. I'm doing my thing. Oh, I run into a roadblock. Oh, dear God, please help me get through this. No. How often are we supposed to be walking by the Spirit if that's the only way we can walk? If you're not, you're at any given point in time, you are either walking by the Spirit or you are floundering in the flesh. You're either walking in the Spirit or you're floundering in the flesh. There's no in between. It's not, oh, I'm doing both. No, you're doing one or the other. So what is your life like? Are you walking in the Spirit? Are you walking by the Spirit? Man, I love that. It's a walk, so it's a process. It's a long, drawn process. But man, isn't it a beautiful process to watch the fruit of the Spirit grow in your lives? Anybody seen that? To watch your desire for God to grow, to watch God work out. You're doing it, God, and God, you're just like, it really is. Have you ever been there where it's just like you're walking and you're like, dude, I'm not even doing anything. You're speaking and you don't even know. It's like, not my words. You're doing things. It's not you. You been there, Dylan? Besides just now. I'm just saying, yeah. Isn't that an awesome place to just be floating through life in that? Where the Spirit of God is carrying you. You're walking by the Spirit. Because spiritually, you can't walk by yourself. Your whole process of sanctification is walking by the Spirit. You've heard me say before. You heard the rowboat illustration. You've heard, man, what do you want me to do now, God? Do it. What do you want me to do now, God? Do it. What do you want me to do now, God? What do you want me to do now, God? What do you want me to do? You're going in circles. Oh, I'm doing this for you. I'm doing this for you. That's all legalism, and you're going in circles. The Spirit-filled life is, what do you want me to do now, God? Have you ever not had God answer real quickly? And here you are stuck in the world in this position. And the world's like, what are you doing? I'm waiting on God. Well, that's pretty stupid. Well, to you it is, but I have to walk by the Spirit because that's the only way I'm going to get where I need to get. Amen? Oh, do this? Yeah. What do you want me to do now? Do it. What do you want me to do now? Do it. And that walk, as you know spiritually, Abby, sometimes it's fast, isn't it? And it's sometimes, man, it's a crash course. Do, 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 do. Sometimes it's as slow as molasses. Man. But it's the perfect speed. Because you know what? If we realize God is never late, we wait differently. Amen? So Paul says, you know what? Yeah, these Judaizers, in fact, he even told them, you got to believe in circumcision. Cut the whole thing off, man. He's like, you know, he said that earlier in there. He's like, but here's what I say. Walk this continual process for the rest of your life until you are glorified. And now you're perfect and you're in heaven. He said, while you're here, from the time you're born again to the time he brings you home, walk. It's a process. Progress is direction, not speed, right? And as long as you're making progress and you're like, well, I take 3 steps back, well, then quit succumbing to the flesh. And we all do it. We're going to talk about that. But he says, walk. Keep walking. Keep walking. But I'm not getting any. Man, Ashley, remember when I first used to take you paddleboarding? I take her paddleboard, man, and we go around the cut at come out of Dynamite Point and go into the cove. And, man, sometimes the tide was blowing out so hard around that corner. And Ashley would be like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. And I'm like, not if you don't paddle, you won't. And just keep paddling. Just keep paddling. And guess what? I saw you were making progress. It wasn't much, but you were making it. And then all of a sudden you bust out and it's like, whoa, now I'm going somewhere. You know? Just keep walking. Walk by the Spirit. Don't give in to floundering in the flesh. Walk by the Spirit of God. Now, look at this next part. So it's not just like, so Ashley paddleboarding, okay? She had to paddle. God gave her the board. God gave her the paddle. God gave her the desire. God gave her the encouragement. But what'd she have to do? She had to paddle. So the next point I want to make where Paul talks about this, he says, but I say walk by the Spirit. Look at this next part. The walk is active. It is not passive. You're not just laying there and being floated around by God. Woo! Well, God didn't dig the hole. He gave me the shovel, but he didn't dig the hole. Right? You know, God, no, it's active, not passive. The Holy Spirit gives you the desire to do something, and he gives you the ability to do it. But who does it? God does it through you. It's a partnership. But there's something for you to do in it. The walk is active, not passive. Look at this. You must say no to the flesh and say yes to the Holy Spirit's power. So here it is. How many of y'all got a stronghold? How many of y'all got a temptation? How many of y'all got trials? Some things that, man, the devil throws in your face over and over again, and you either succeed or fail in it, right? Any of you got any of those things? Okay, good. I'm glad it's not just me. So when you hit those things, you know what God's word says. Okay, God's word says you don't have to go. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there's no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able. But listen to this, but with the temptation, he will make a way to escape. So he's not going to give you anything you can't handle if you follow his way to escape. You try to dig your own way out, you're going to bury yourself. You got to take his way out. And so the word of God says no temptation is going to overpower you. Yeah, we talked about before Flip Wilson. How many of y'all are old enough to remember Flip Wilson? And you remember Geraldine? Y'all remember Geraldine? This one, Flip Wilson dressed up as a woman, and it wasn't like, you know, everybody knew it was a joke. We never dreamt people would do this for real, but back then. But Flip Wilson dressed up as Geraldine, and she'd always get caught in these compromising positions, and her excuse was always, what? What'd she scream out? Yeah, come on, give me your best Geraldine voice. Y'all are scared. She goes, the devil made me do it, right? And but the devil can't make you do it. As a believer, he can't make you do anything.
When you gave your life to Christ, he no longer was the captain of your life, and he got shoved down in the next level, down below in the brig. He's chained up. He's in a cell. And as long as you stay up top with Jesus, listening to his commands, listen to what Jesus wants you to do, man, you got no problem. And if Jesus does send you down, you got to ignore him. You got to remember what Christ told you and ignore him, because he is very deceptive. That's his name. Think about what he convinced Adam and Eve of doing. Before Adam and Eve ate off the tree of knowledge of good and evil, did they know good? So all he sold them, and they fell for it, to blow off God, was the ability to know evil. You think they really thought about that deal? No, but that's how good he is. So you listen to God. And the devil can't. He's chained up, but he can talk you into stuff. He can talk you into stuff if you listen long enough. That's why man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that what? Comes from the mouth of God. Matthew 4:4. The walk is not passive, so you must say no. You got a choice. Here, I can go do what the flesh wants me to do, but we were told in Romans that when we got born again, your old man died. He's dead. So can a dead man tell you what to do? Can a dead man make you do anything? No, but he's there. It's there. And you know what happens? You remember what it was like when that flesh could do the things of the world that were powered by Satan. And you choose to do things. That's why Paul said in Romans 12, he said, I'm begging you to present your bodies, that flesh, as a living sacrifice. Instead of doing what the flesh wants, do what the new nature wants. And make that body do the new thing. Do what God wants you to do. You have the ability. The new nature has the power. The new nature has the desire. The new nature is you. Paul said, it's no longer I that live, it's Christ that lives in me. The old man's dead, but Satan uses him to bark out orders. And there's part of an unredeemed part of us in all of that, that the flesh, we're going to learn about that in the next couple of weeks. Why we keep going back into the flesh? We're stupid. What's the S word, Kathy? Stupid. Yes. It's stupid. Yes. We get suckered into it and we do it. So walk is not passive. You must say no to the flesh. Flesh is like, ooh, come on, man. You want to do this? Remember how fun it was? Remember when we used to do this? And it's limited memory too. They say, hey, you remember when you were in jail and you did that? Hey, you remember when, you know, your fat family fell apart and you did that? Hey, you remember when you know, all this messed up? No, he didn't bring all that up. Hey, you want to do this? And what do we say? Kathy, what's the N-word? N-O, what's N-word? No, y'all, hey, y'all, when the flesh is asking us to do something, y'all, what do we answer? Help me out, what's the N-word? No. It's an active part, it's not passive. It's no, I'm not doing that. No, I'm not gonna do it. And can he make you do it? No, the old man can't make you do it. And if you need encouragement and you need help to know that, you read the Word of God. And the Word of God says, no, man, it can't make you do anything. 1 Corinthians 10:13 again. You walk by the Spirit. Your walk is not passive. You got to say no to the flesh. And not only say no to the flesh, because how many of y'all have ever done this? The temptation's there and you're like, nope, 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 nope. For 23 hours and 58 seconds. Nope, 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 nope. And then that 1 second, what happens, Katie? What do you say? Okay, right? And then you feel like a total loser, man. And you're like, oh. You said no to the temptation, but what didn't you say yes to? Yeah, the power of the Holy Spirit. Walks, act, not passive. You've got to say no to the flesh, but you have to say yes to the power of the Holy Spirit. You get in the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You get around other believers that are going to help you see life from God's perspective, so that they're like, what, are you going to be stupid and do that again? Well, yeah, no, you're not. And you have believers to help you, but you're in the Word. You got to say no to the flesh and yes to, you know what? I believe I can do this.
I believe this is what God wants me to do. And you start walking through that insurmountable pile of evidence the world throws at you that you can't do it that way. And all of a sudden, you just keep walking in faith. And guess what? Now you look back and there's that pile of evidence. You walk through it. You got to say no to the flesh, but you got to say yes to the Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us power to do the things God wants us to do. But it's an active role, not passive. Oh, well, it overtook me. No. No, I'm not doing this. Yes, I'm doing this. Bam. Don't you have to make those decisions in regular life all the time? This is your regular life. No, I'm walking by the Spirit's power. Dylan wanted to go somewhere, man. He needed Tiny and his uncle to carry him, right? You remember that? I'm just saying. It's what it means to walk by the Spirit. You can't do it in the flesh. So, look at this next verse. And this is a promise, by the way. First one was a command. Hey, this I say, walk by the Spirit. You know, that's written, that's a command. It's not just like, hey, if you feel like it, bro, man, walk in the Spirit. It'd be really good for you, Lucinda, walk in the Spirit if you really feel it. If not, don't worry about it. No, it's a command. He says, this I say. Dude, if you're going to do what the Word of God says and you're going to treat others the way you want to be treated, if you're going to love them the way you love yourself, you got to walk in the Spirit. Because you got to grow fruit for them to eat. And you're not a fruit tree if you're not walking in the Spirit. So he says this next part, he gives us a promise. He says, so walk by the Spirit. But I say, here's the deal. He said, walk by the Spirit. So if you walk by the Spirit, you will not, no way possible, gratify the desires of the flesh. He gives us a promise. So if you don't, next time the devil comes and is trying to like, oh, man, you know what, JJ? Hey, here it is, man. You should be really mad. Here it is, man. You should, you know, when he's throwing all that at you right there, you've got a promise. And the promise is you don't have to do it. But if you're not going to do it, what do you have to be doing? You have to be walking by the Spirit. It's not a matter of, oh, God says I don't have to do this bad thing. I don't have to act that way. No, he says, no, you don't. But in order to not walk in the flesh or gratify the desires of the flesh, you have to walk by the Spirit's power. The Spirit's got to carry you. The Spirit, you got to trust His power, not yours. Because you trust yours, you're going to be walking and floundering in the flesh. So there's a promise that He gives us. But I say, walk by the Spirit. And look at this, you will not. What does that mean? Suzette, what does it mean, you will not? If he's like on one of those special diets. He's like, you know what? I'm blowing this off. I don't care if I die. I'm going to eat me a big old steak, man. And you go, you will not. What does that mean? He ain't going to eat one, right? I don't care. I don't care how big you are and small. You know, she's got you, bro. You will not. She says you are not. You will not. And that's what, so think about it. Who's saying this? Paul says, you will not. But who is Paul speaking on behalf of? Yeah. God Almighty. God says, if you walk in by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. It's impossible. In fact, the way it's constructed in the Greek, it says it's totally there. You will not, cannot, anyway. There's no possible way it's going to happen. No way. So the key to not gratifying the desires of the flesh, the key to not getting sucked back over, is that you have to walk by who? The Spirit. You got to walk by the Spirit. That's the choice we have to make on a daily basis. That's a choice we have to make on a moment-by-moment basis, by a situation-by-situation basis. We have to choose to walk by the Spirit. And the more we're in the Word of God, the more our brains are saturated with the Word of God, the more we see the benefit and we can fight off the lies of the enemy. What did he say again in Romans 12? Man, I beg you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice that's holy and acceptable to God. And don't be conformed to the world, changed by the outside in. Be transformed by the what? Help me out. Be transformed. Transformed is like, dude, the other day we were working on my pond. And my pond was messed up. I'm digging. There's all kinds of tadpoles. Y'all remember tadpoles? Tadpoles, man, big ones. These are bufo toed tadpoles, man. All right. And You could actually put them on skewers and probably make shish kebabs. They're so big. But I'm just saying, man, little bufo toad nuggets. But I don't know. It might make you a little buzz. But anyways, go back. So the tadpoles, here they were, little blobs, and they had tails on them. What are they going to get next, y'all? What are they going to get next? The legs, yeah. So did I have to go on Amazon and buy some tadpole legs? And then I had to catch each one and put the tadpole legs on the tadpole? The same way I did the tail, right? Didn't I have to put the tail on the tadpole? No, it doesn't come from the outside in. Where do they get the legs from? If you don't get them on Amazon, come on. Don't you get everything on Amazon? If you can't get tadpole legs on Amazon, where are you going to get them from? Where are they getting them from, bro? From inside. From inside. All of a sudden, going poop, 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 poop. And they got a tail and four legs. And those bufo toads got claws. Maybe I should eat them when they get the legs. I don't know. I'm just saying, no, I ain't going to eat no bufo. You know the hippies back in the day. You know, how many of y'all know about bufo toads? They will kill dogs. Okay? Except my dog. She ate three of them during Hurricane Matthew. And she's the one who ate the rat poison. She's still okay. Thanks for praying for her. But... But those bufo toad hippies used to grab them and they would like start foaming up on the glands on the back. Hippies used to lick them just to get a buzz. So none of you hippies do that, all right? I'm just saying. But these bufo toads, man, it's like, dude, it's going to turn from a, and you know what it started out as? The other day I cleaned the pond, got brand new clean, and I heard the bufo toads at night. I even could have speared one of them, but I didn't. I was kind of, and you know what I found on the surface of the water? A bunch of eggs. I found thousands of eggs they laid in one night there. Those eggs turn into blobs. The blobs get a tail. The tail gets claws. Then they lose the tail. They turn into toads. Do they do this from the outside in or the inside out? It's metamorphosis, which is the same Greek word here. It's being changed from the inside out, not from the outside in. And so many Christians try to put Christianity on the outside. Oh, I'm going to buy this Bible study and stick it on. I'm going to read this devotion and stick this on. I'm going to go to this church and I'm going to, you know, and they're sticking stuff on so they can walk around and look like a Christian. It's no good because it's going to fall off. It's got to be from the inside out. And he says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the what? Help me out, guys. Renewing of your what? Your mind. How many of you have a mind that has a tendency of getting old? A mind that forgets. A mind that's over here walking with God. And all of a sudden, like my dog, I throw a tennis ball across the room. What's my dog going to do? No matter what she's doing in the whole world, she could be doing anything. I could be laying. She's laying on her back. I'm scratching her. I throw a tennis ball across the room. What's she going to do? Woo! How many of y'all are like my dog? You're walking in the spirit, man. There you are. And all of a sudden, Satan throws a tennis ball and like, woo! And there you go. That's why we have to have our mind renewed, because if my dog's mind was renewed, she would say, yeah, last time I did that, he stopped scratching me, which I love much better. And my claws that don't find traction on the hardwood floor and let me slip into the wall face first, and it hurt, I won't have to experience that again. But she doesn't think that. She just gets lured away. Aren't you glad we don't get lured away? We do. That's why we got to continually renew our mind. Be in the Word of God, letting God renew our mind, saying, and then all of a sudden when something comes up, dude, I ain't chasing that ball. I smashed my nose. I look like a Pekingese now for a couple weeks. I ain't doing that again. You know? And we resist. That's what walking by the Spirit is. You're letting the Holy Spirit of God take the Word of God and make it come alive in your life. And he gives you the power to obey the word of God. And you don't smash your face into a wall and look like a Pekingese for 3 weeks. I say walk by the Spirit and you cannot gratify the desires of the flesh, because are the desires of the flesh ever going to turn out good? No. They've always got a bad end to them. So the next thing I want you to see in this, and we're almost done, next two verses, he goes on, he tells us, walking by the Spirit is so crucial because the battle is so intense. You ever think about the Apostle Paul and who he was? Yeah, go look at his life. Nothing stopped him. He's chained to four Roman soldiers.
And they're making fun of him, whatever. And he's like, oh, dude, you know, your shoes, that reminds me of the peace I have with God. Those give my salvation gives me traction. I can't slip. Oh, your sword, that's like the word of God that I use to cut up all the lies of the devil. Your shield, you got. He would not stop talking about God. Ever think about what he looked like? What are some of the things he went through, Trent? Name one thing he went through. What's that? Oh, tortured, yeah, almost to death. He was thrown over a wall. He was shipwrecked. Dude, when Paul showed up to town, he's hunched over. His face is scarred. His body's mutilated. He's coming in like, I don't know, what's that, Igor or whatever. But he starts preaching the word of God, and he's the most beautiful person in the world. How could somebody who's been through so much hardship not pull the stupid victim card? Anybody could pull the victim card as the Apostle Paul. So many things happened in his life. Go study all the things that happened in his life. How beat up he was. How messed up he was. Even his past. Do you not think it bothered him to think about how all the families he killed when he was Saul and not Paul? He killed families because they were Christians. You don't think that bothered him? He had to understand forgiveness. That's why he could teach it so well. Go read about the Apostle Paul in all of this. But how could he constantly be preaching the good news and give us this stuff if he wasn't constantly in communication with God Almighty? Constantly in the Word, constantly in fellowship with God Almighty. And that's how he could live, where he said, man, for me to live is Christ, to die is even better. So walk by the Spirit is so crucial because the battle's so intense. Paul's going to tell, and the Apostle Paul, he's the one that said, if Apostle Paul had a battle, JT, you think you're going to have a battle? Yeah. Trent, you going to have a battle? Yeah. Michelle, how about you? A battle. If Apostle Paul's got one, you got one? Because I'm not even nowhere near the Apostle Paul. And he tells us this is why you got to walk by the Spirit with the Spirit's power. You need the Spirit's power because the battle is intense. Watch this in the next few verses, what he says. For the desires of the flesh. So we still have flesh. How many of y'all have desires that are not of God? Anyone? Yes, we still got them, man. That's why when he tells me in Romans that my old man is dead, I want to argue. I'm like, no, I just saw him the other day. I just saw him that morning. You say he's dead, but he's real alive in me. And Paul's like, yeah, he's alive in you because you're letting him live. Christ killed him. Christ killed him. He's dead. But by faith, you have to believe he's dead. By faith, you have to believe the new man can pull off the word of God and be able to do that. If by faith, you still live by feelings, you still live by your emotions, you still live by your thoughts and your desires? He said, nah, no wonder he's still alive. The just don't live by that. The just live by what? What's the F word? Faith. The just live by faith. Faith is like, I don't care what I feel. I don't care what everybody's telling me. I don't care what they write in all those books that's against the word of God. I don't care. All I care about is what God says in his word and what the Holy Spirit is confirming in my life. And I'm going to believe it no matter what I feel, no matter what I see, no matter what I think, no matter what I want. I'm moving forward in God's power. The just live by faith. They toss out the feelings, the emotions, the thoughts, the desires, especially when they contradict the word of God. He says the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. So they're against the Spirit. The Spirit's moving this way. They're calling you to move this way. Which one are you going to follow? And we know we're guilty of following both. We're guilty of following our desire. We're guilty of following the flesh. But how's it going to end up? Not good. So he's telling us there's a battle of desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. There's no middle ground where, we're right here in the middle. That's our comfortable consumer Christianity that we've created in this world. No, it's one or the other. Christ said, you're either for me or against me. It's either Christ or it's the world. You can't be living in both of them at the same time. The desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. Look at this. The desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. This is an intense battle. That's what we live daily as a believer.
So the more we can get away from the flesh, the less the temptations will be, but they're going to follow. There's going to be there. There's going to be situations, man, a smell, a thought, a sound, a person, something, man, stirs it up, and you've got to fight against it. You can't just be like, oh, and get sucked back in. It's like a giant vacuum cleaner. Man, you can't get sucked back in. The more you start getting sucked back in, hey, Tom, man, you deserve some big wave. Were you in Costa Rica, Nicaragua? Where were you at? Nicaragua? Yeah, man, did you have to paddle through some stuff to get through there? Did you ever, like, man, at that point where you're paddling and you're trying to duck dive and you're getting, was there ever a point where you're moving backwards? Many times, yeah, getting caught inside maybe a little bit. Yeah, many. And what did you do at that point you were getting moved? Oh, well, guess I'll just, did you just get sucked back to the beach and sat on the beach and watch those beautiful waves? What did you do? What did you do when you felt the current trying to suck you back up to the beach? You paddled harder. Did you paddle with more intensity? Why? Why would you do such a thing? And use your God-given energy to paddle out harder. Why not just go with the flow, bro? Why did you paddle so hard to get out there? Because what? Yeah, because when you get out there, no more beatings, and it's what you want. It's what God, it's what you went on the trip for. You imagine coming home telling your buddies or your wife, or, well, how'd it go? Well, man, it was really cool getting sucked back on the beach. So I never quite made it out, got sucked back on the beach. So you never got what you wanted. Keep paddling, y'all. Keep fighting. It's a fight. It's not a passive thing where we just like, oh, well, go with the flow and get sucked back on. No, if you want what God's got for you, you got to keep going. You got to keep going. That's what Paul says. It's imperative that we walk by the Spirit of God because the battle is so intense. If you don't know about this battle, you might not be saved. Because I guarantee you, the more you look like God, the more Satan's going to oppose you. Guaranteed. The desires of flesh are against the Spirit. The desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. Two different directions. For these are opposed to each other. God, how can he make it any clearer? But yet we found a way to be like, oh, well, here for school, for this, for that, for vote, for whatever. You know, we're over here. Oh, for this part of my life, I'm over here. Oh, for this part, I'm over. No, it's one or the other, and we have one life for Christ. And so again, Paul said, for me to live is what? Christ. To die is better because there's nothing in the way. So, desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. The desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. So, Tom, you're paddling out. What did you want to do? You wanted to ride them barrels I saw you sent me pictures of. Is that not what you wanted to do? Can you imagine a photographer never got a picture of the barrel? They just got a picture of you paddling through the inside. And I'm sure when you got pushed back, there were a couple where the board was way up in the air and you were totally cooped out in the middle, right? Are those the pictures that you want to remember the trip by? No, you wanted those barrels. And look what he says here. He says that the purpose of the flesh is to keep you from doing the things you want to do. You wanted to be out there and not get beat up. You wanted to be out there to ride those barrels and have the great memories. Yeah, I haven't erased those. I still look at them and live vicariously through you on those pictures, man. But the devil is trying to keep you from doing the things you want to do. That's what the flesh does. It's not going to give you what you want, you think it is, until you get it. But it's trying to keep you from doing the things you really want to do for Christ. So look at this next part and we're done. He said, but if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. You know who was under the law? The old man. The old man needed a mirror. Man, that's what the law is. It's a mirror, right? Kathy, did you look in a mirror today? Oh, you didn't? You woke up with hair that beautiful? Oh my goodness. Yeah, was your hair that beautiful this morning? Unless it was a wig, right? That's not a wig, is it? No, I'm just messing with you, but sorry, but I'm just saying, dude, what's your name, man? Lou. Did you look in a mirror this morning? Was your hair as nice as it is right now? No, dude. You had some pretty cool bedhead, I bet. You got that thick hair, man. So you saw in the mirror there was something needing to be fixed, right? So did you take the mirror off the wall and start fixing it?
Why? Why didn't he use a mirror to fix his hair? Because it's... Yeah. No, did you take it off the wall? No, because it's not a very efficient tool. It was only there to show you things were messed up. I'm sure you took something like a brush or a comb or something. Used a more appropriate tool. The law is to show people what's wrong with their life. But it was never there to fix it. Christ was. And so it's only by giving our life to Christ that now we have the proper tool to be able to fix our hair. Proverbial hair, our spiritual hair there. How about that? It's only by Christ that we can fix what the mirror shows is wrong. But if you can't, if you don't have Christ, then you can't fix your what? You can't fix your spiritual hair, right? if you don't have Christ, you can't fix anything. That's why you don't look in the Word of God, because like, dude, I already know what I'm going to see. I don't want to look in the mirror. I don't even know what I'm going to see, but you have no way of fixing it. But with Christ, who we have the one who can fix it. That's what sanctification is. But we have to do our part. God gives us the desire. He gives us the ability. He tells us what to do, and we do it. But we have to do it through faith. And that's the key, because we don't want to do it through faith because the world's telling us it doesn't work. We're telling ourselves, our old flesh is telling us it's not going to work. But by faith, we have to renew our minds constantly to know what the Word of God is saying, so that we can live by faith in the Word of God. Amen? So on a recap here, here's what we've learned in the first two parts, and this is what we need to apply. Continually, it's a command, continually. It's a process. It's not a couple of steps to just get you out of a problem, get you out of a situation. It's a lifelong walk. Continually, we walk by the what? And by the way, where does the Holy Spirit of God live? In us. He lives in us. And who is the Holy Spirit? He's Almighty God living in us. You know, I got to say this. It just came to mind. I got to believe it's the Holy Spirit. Bring it to mind for somebody. But I remember Pastor Zane used to always say, he said, man, if people would just remember the omnipresence of God, it would make them holy. If you knew that God was with you all the time, you can't hide. If you knew God was with you, empowering you and directing you, you might be tempted, but you sure wouldn't be doing things in his presence if you were aware of that in there. So continually, we got to walk by the Spirit. This is the normal Christian life. This is not just some for super Christians. There's no such thing. You're a Christian or you're not. It's for the Christian to walk the Christian life, live the Christian life. You've got to continually walk by the Spirit. It's the normal Christian life. The walk is active, not passive. You must say no to the flesh. You must say yes to the Spirit's power. And walking by the Spirit is so crucial because the battle is so intense. And if you don't understand how intense the battle is, perhaps you don't have Christ. Perhaps you're so far into the world that maybe the devil likes you representing Christ the way you are. I don't know. But what I'm saying is, you know, the Word of God says those that live godly will be persecuted. As I heard somebody say one time, you know, that perhaps there's no persecution because there's not much resemblance. God, I don't ever want that said about me. So again, those who live godly will be persecuted. You'll be challenged to live according to God's ways, and you can only do that by walking by the Spirit. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I'm coming to you in the name of Jesus, and I'm grateful that I can come in that name. That's the only reason I could even come to you. I think of the Old Testament priests that once a year could come into the Holy Holies swinging incense, hoping that you would acknowledge the prayers of the people, of their asking for forgiveness. And when he walked through that big curtain to get to the Holy of Holies, he was hoping with everything he had that you would find the sacrifice acceptable and not kill him and let him in. Father, that's why he had bells on his garment, and they say ropes around his ankles, because no one was going in after him if you didn't accept the sacrifice. Father, I can't even imagine how little I'd pray if that's the way it worked, but because of Christ and his righteousness, you always accept this sacrifice that I have to offer. It's not me, it's Christ. And so I can come boldly to the throne of God, as we're told in Scripture so many times and places. So I'm coming to you, Father, and I'm speaking to the Almighty God, the one that keeps the tiniest atoms from splitting, to keeping the most giant planets from crashing into us, and everything in between. I get to talk to you and know through faith that you're listening. Thank you. On behalf of all the believers that have that kind of faith, to know that we are talking to Almighty God. And for those who are questioning and they're wondering, and they're not sure that they have that kind of access to you, Father, I pray that today you would give them faith. You give them grace. You give them the desire and ability to believe your word over anything else. Father, I pray you'd give them a desire to surrender everything they know about themselves to everything they know about you today. That's all they got to know. Just surrender to you, believing that they can trust you. And the first thing they need to trust you for is righteousness. Father, you demand a perfect righteousness, and we've all blown that. And we have to pay for those sins from the wrath of God, which none of us could survive. But fortunately for us, Christ paid the price. He paid for the wrath. He took our whooping. And wants to give us his righteous life in exchange for our unrighteous life. We can't keep the unrighteous and take his righteous. We have to give him the unrighteous life. And we can receive his righteousness, because any other righteousness would be self-righteousness, and you hate that. You love Christ's righteousness. So, Father, make that make sense to someone that needs it today. Someone that man, knows there's nothing they can do to earn their way to heaven. Man, there's nothing they can do good enough to be acceptable to you, that Christ is the only one who did that, and he wants to give it to us. So, Father, please make that make sense. I'm grateful I can come to you in prayer for that. I'm grateful, Father, that I can come to you through Jesus, and I can come to you with the help of the Holy Spirit. You tell us in Romans 8 that sometimes we just don't even know how to pray, but we do. And your Holy Spirit, who is God Almighty, who lives inside of us, will lift up our desires in such a way that they will be acceptable to you. He helps us communicate with you, God the Father, and tunes our heart, puts it in tune with him. Father, I pray that that's what would happen today. You give us such a desire to walk by the Spirit, not only in our everyday actions, but in our thoughts, and in our desires, and in our emotions. Father, tune us to you as we walk by the Spirit. Help us learn more as we plow through the rest of the scripture in the next few weeks. What a privilege it is to have it. But help us just take this part today. Help us to say no to sin and yes to your power to do the right thing. Help us all give that a shot today, to just give it a shot tomorrow, to keep doing it, even if we fail, to just keep doing it. And allow our faith to build as we say no to sin, no to self, and yes to you. And I pray for these things in Jesus' name.